Be truly led by the hand of the Lord every day, every moment. There's so much to walking His way and not walking our own way. I'd like to pause for a word of prayer before going into what I have to share this morning. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the songs that we were led in this morning already and opening thoughts. And Lord, I ask that you would just bless the balance of this service as well. Bless each heart here. Help us, Lord, to seek you and to glean whatever it is that you have for us today. Help us, Lord, to praise your name. Lord, do bless those that aren't here with us today. Keep your hand over them in traveling, visiting, different things that they're about, schooling. Lord, just keep your hand over each one for good. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, I just have some thoughts to share on doing nothing by partiality. It's a verse that says, I charge thee before God, and then in that verse it says something about do nothing by partiality. And, you know, it's so easy to be partial. It's so easy to judge someone or think something or do something based on circumstances, based on how somebody sounds, how somebody looks, how somebody acts. Some of it is just vanity. It's just not a good thing to be judging by. We just need to really understand the heart of God in looking at people as souls and as valuable and caring and listening to what the Lord has through different people, different ones. I think that oftentimes our human nature finds it difficult to be without partiality. We just tend to be that way. If I was to give a definition for that, prejudiced or biased or predisposition are a few of the words that could go along with partiality in describing that. I'd like to look first, I'm going to read a verse, and I have it written out here. It's just one verse, you don't need to turn, but it's Leviticus 19, verse 15. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. You know, I think it's easy on either end of the spectrum to, you know, try to be easy on somebody because they're poor, or to be giving some sort of respect because someone is rich. And realistically, right is right and wrong is wrong. And if it's coming from this place or that place, we need to be able to be discerning and see that something is acceptable before God or it's not. A couple verses I'm going to read from Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with them. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. There again, some of the same things are being said. And we just need to realize that whether small or great, we're all before God. And ultimately, thankfully, God is the one that we have to care most about making a judgment. And he makes a righteous judgment. He doesn't judge us based on our looks or our abilities. He gave us those things. And he judges us based on our heart. 1 Samuel 9, verses 1 and 2. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power, and he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he, from his shoulders and upward. He was higher than any of the people. Looks like a beautiful person to make a king, doesn't it? And they did, and it didn't work out so well. At first, it seemed like there was some humility there, but it's so easy for things that start out well, if people are looking to them in a way that is not based on just those things that relate to God. Maybe they're looking at their size and their goodliness, and that things can so easily go astray. Saul appears to have been from a wealthy family and to have been tall. And I'm going to read a few verses from 1 Samuel 15 as well, starting in verse 1. 1 through 3 and then 7 through 9. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." And then verses 7 through 9, "And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly." You know, I had to think about the fact that here it could have been tempting to just look at the significant amount of the command that was given to Saul that was carried out, and to have overlooked the fact that he had not carried out the full command of the Lord. And because Saul started out as he did and was so impressive and so everything that man would tend to by nature look to, and truly he smote the Amalekites and he took or he utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword, with the exception of, and then there were these exceptions there, so he was doing very much of what God had commanded, but not all of it. And I think it's very easy when we like people, you know, make excuse for our friend. You know, they're, well, hey, they do make it to church every Sunday, and they are doing this, and we couldn't do without them because of this and because of that. And we become partial because of the fact that we appreciate certain aspects of things, and we're not willing to speak into their lives to help them with some area that they're not doing well in. And that is partiality as well. And so these thoughts today, it's not necessarily anything super new, it's just that we really need to guard in our hearts against appreciating and respecting people on a wrong basis, or for not appreciating and not respecting them on a wrong basis, but to look at people as God sees. God saw Saul here as disobedient, and as unworthy to keep the kingdom, to rule the kingdom. Because Saul was disobedient, he did not do all that God had asked him to do. And he did much of it. I'm stressing that. He did a lot of what God asked him to do. And because of that, and because of how handsome and tall and strong and all of those things, it would have been so easy to make excuse for him. But there's no excuse for him. He didn't do what God asked him to do in entirety. And we need to remember to help each other. If we see something, it doesn't matter how much we by nature like or dislike a person, we need to be willing to speak into their lives to help them in their spiritual walk and not be partial. Verses 22 and 23. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Sounds so harsh for all the good that he had done. And yet, he did not, and he should have known as a king what to do. He did not fully carry out the word of the Lord. And when addressed, he did not even, he made excuse for what he had not done. He wasn't what he looked like, so to say. Everything that a person could be based on man's looking at a person. Malachi 2, 1 to 10, "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you, if ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way, ye have caused many to stumble at the law, ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers?" Looking back in verse 6, "The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity." Looking back at maybe like why Levi was chosen and the proper use of the priesthood or things along those lines, that we would do things in equity. And it's so easy to not look at things properly, to look at them from just a flesh judgment or standpoint. In 1 Timothy 5, verses 17 to 22, it says, this is a familiar passage, but I want to look at it here. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. I found that study of that interesting, where it says lay hands suddenly on no man. You know, it can be something where we have someone who appears to be maybe they appear like King Saul, and we don't spend a lot of time analyzing who they are and getting to know them, but we put them in a position of power. And the thought that I got in studying this passage is that laying hands on and anointing someone or putting them into a position there, making a hasty choice, we could share in the responsibility of the sins that come through that. And, you know, if you were just to look at this apart from knowing the context and understanding, you could easily think it means don't do violence to anyone. And that's a good scripture too. But I believe that it talks about the laying on of hands as an anointing, and that we need to do nothing by partiality. We need to be careful to know what we are doing and to do things according to righteous judgment. One more passage, another familiar passage in James 2, verses 1 to 10. It says, My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Remembering that Saul was judged according to that he had not done. And we look, and he did some real good. He carried out half of the commandment, maybe three quarters of the commandment. And it could be easy to make excuse for him. But no, it says that whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Earlier in the chapter here, it talks about looking at people based on their clothing or their being poor or rich. There's so much in thinking about partiality and in just wanting to make sure that we aren't partial in ourselves, because God doesn't want us to look at people that way. He wants us to look as though looking through his eyes, and to look and see the heart, to know the subject, and to relate without that partiality. May God bless.